What is your go-to pattern? This is an awareness exercise right now. What is your go-to pattern when a conflict arises? There's actually four main ones, so we'll talk about them. The first one, avoid. Don't go there. Sweep it under the rug. The second one, oblige. Do whatever, just keep the peace. Don't rock the boat. Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how. Welcome back. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis of In Situ Lifeworks. And we are talking about the relationship game. And this is part two. So I hope you took some notes on part one and shared them with your partner. If you didn't, please do that, because that's very helpful information for this sequel that you're about to hear. So in part one, we talked about the differences in women's and men's brains mostly, and then the three secrets for connection. So today we are going to talk about the five tools to transcend conflict and get back to love. We're also going to talk about increasing our awareness of how we show up when we are in a potential conflict. And we're also going to talk about some ground rules to use as ways to not get yourself in more trouble when you are in a situation where you're having conflict or a miscommunication. So lots to cover today. I hope you have a pen or a pencil with a pencil sharpener, because there's a lot of great information in here for you. So here's the thing. We are responsible for the energy that we bring into a relationship. And regardless of if we're on the same page or trying to figure something out or in the middle of a conflict, how our energy is expressed will influence how well you come out of that experience together. So very important, because here's the thing. When we do communicate, we want to feel heard and loved, and we want our partner to feel heard and loved. So, and this is, you know what? This is regardless of how long you've been together. It really doesn't matter. You can be together a week or a lifetime. There's going to, at some point, be conflict. So, speaking of length of time together, there were three couples trying to join a church. And all three couples went together to visit the pastor. One couple had been married 30 years. The second couple had been married 10 years. And the third couple had been married just a few months. So the pastor sat them all down and said, okay, here's the deal. We have some special spiritual criteria for you to go through to become members of our church. It's a deep spiritual practice. No sex for 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, we're all going to come back, reconvene, and you're going to tell me how you did. So after 3 weeks passed, the three couples sat down with the pastor, and he said, how did it go? And the first couple that had been together for 30 years says, ah, it was easy. We did just fine. And he said, welcome to the church. The second couple that had been married for 10 years said, you know, it was tough, but we did abstain for the full 3 weeks. And the pastor smiled and nodded his head and said, welcome to the church. Well, the third couple was a bit embarrassed and said, you know what? We made it until the 12th day. Then our hands accidentally touched and we got all hot and bothered and we spilled the cereal all over ourselves. It was a mess. We failed. And the pastor shook his head sadly and he told the young couple, I'm so sorry, but the success of this spiritual practice is required for you to be a member of our church. We cannot welcome you into our church. And the couple said, we understand. That's okay. The supermarket won't either. Do you remember what it was like when you first started your relationship with your loved one? It was brand new. And how easy it was to talk, and there was no conflict. You shared everything. You felt like you were always on the same page. And at the very outset, that's how it is. And then life starts happening, and we start bumping into things about each other, maybe that we don't like, and then we start to have some conflicts. And we never felt like we needed some guidelines of how to do that well. But as time went on, we got maybe complacent and maybe even a little bit disconnected from our partners. And is this you? Because I know I've had trouble with this from time to time, where it seems harder than ever to resolve a conflict, to understand where your partner's coming from, and to feel connected, heard and valued, and also have them feel the same. So I want to give you first, before we do anything else, a set of guidelines, rules of engagement. I mean, this is the relationship game, so you need some rules of engagement. And this will help you get to a place more quickly of understanding and mutual sharing. So let's do an exercise. I want you to bring to mind a recent conflict. Got one? How much time should I give you? Okay. Everybody got one? Okay. So did you reach a place of understanding, peace, and connection? How long did that take? So let me ask you this. What is your go-to pattern? This is an awareness exercise right now. What is your go-to pattern when a conflict arises? There's actually four main ones, so we'll talk about them. The first one, avoid. Don't go there. Sweep it under the rug. The second one, oblige. Do whatever. Just keep the peace. Don't rock the boat. The third one, compromise. Let's make this a win-win. And the fourth one, dominate. It's my way or the highway, and I'm usually right. So which is yours? Be honest. Napoleon Hill said this, riches cannot always be measured in riches. And I would tell you, a harmonious relationship is one of life's riches. Raymond Halliwell said this, the kind of thoughts we habitually think attracts the same kind of conditions. So whatever we're thinking, if we're thinking, that's what we're going to get. More of the same. A couple more quotes that I think would be very helpful. You might want to post these on your mirror somewhere. Your mirror, not your partner's. Wayne Dyer said, conflict cannot survive without your participation. Conflict cannot survive without your participation. And Gay Hendricks, another relationship expert, says, every argument is a race to victimhood. Ew. Every argument is a race to victimhood. And we know this, unresolved conflicts build walls, while resolving conflict builds bridges. Rich Boggs, brother to Matt, the man we talked about in the first podcast on relationships, he's a master coach also at the Brave Thinking Institute. And he says this about shifting from react to create when we're in a conflict. The moment between the stimulus, the thing that hacks you off, the moment between that and the response is where your ultimate power lies. That space in between, that's where your power lies. And you can learn to create in that moment rather than react. I love that. We have the power. So before we cover those five tools to transcend conflict and get back to love, let's look at that set of rules of engagement that I mentioned. There's a man named Thomas Crum in his book, Defining Conflict. He listed these things as out of bounds. Out of bounds. Don't do these. Name calling. Yeah. Labeling and judging your partner's behavior. That is so stupid. So crazy. That's so immature. That's so lame. Don't do it. Sarcasm. Stonewalling. Giving your partner the silent treatment. Hitting below the belt. You're just like your father. This is where you're pushing someone else's buttons or you're exploiting their weak and vulnerable spots that you know about. Bringing up the past to build your case. You did that 3 times last week, and 3 years ago you... And one more. Using always and never. You're always late. You never kiss me goodbye. Whew. Yeah. So make sure you have those written down and tape them to your forehead. Okay. So knowing the pattern of arguments is also a good thing to be aware of. Remember, if you're aware of it, you can fix it or change it. Or do it better. It goes like this. Criticism, defensiveness, and counter-criticism. That's the pattern. So if this sounds remotely familiar, stay with us. So someone once said, taking offense is just as harmful as giving it. Ooh, taking offense is just as harmful as giving it. So instead of getting defensive, maybe we learn to get to a higher place. And when you get to a higher place, you have a different point of view. Here's the thing about conflict resolution. It's first a mindset, and then with repetition, it becomes a skill set. So when you find yourself in a place where conflict is arising or coming about, or you can feel yourself getting constricted, maybe ask yourself a couple of questions. One of those might be, what is seeking to emerge? Here's another one. What would love do here? What would love do here? In The Course in Miracles, there's a quote. I love this quote. every act or every action is an act of love or a call for love, no matter how unskillful it may be. So when those things happen, here's what Albert Einstein says. In the midst of difficulty lies an opportunity. So what's the opportunity? Again, what's seeking to emerge? We have the opportunity to access that power between the stimulus and our response. Remember, there's power in that. And we can make it a skill set. Okay, so here are those five tools. The long-awaited five tools to transcend conflict and get back to love. All right, here we go. Number one, look for the thread of truth and validate it. There's some thread of truth in what your partner is saying to you. Here's a good one. Shovel while the pile is small. Don't wait until you have so much resentment and anger and things have built up and built up and several things have happened where all of a sudden you're angry about a multitude of things, or you've just let it fester and you're ready to explode. Here's a litmus test. If it's something that bothered you and you let it go at the moment and you're still thinking about it the next day, bring it up. Dr. Pat Allen says this, the way you know you love someone is your willingness to make and keep agreements. That's what we're doing here. We're making and keeping agreements. We're learning how to play fair. We're learning how we show up in a conflict and fixing that if we need to. And then we're learning and we're going to internalize these five tools. So the next one is what Gay Hendricks called the sweaty 10-minute conversation. And that is setting the intention. I want to tell you something to bring us closer together. I want to tell you something. And then keep it to the facts. State the facts. Here is what I see. And when you're making those statements, take the emotion out of it. Take the emotion out of it. Then state your feelings. And remember, you are responsible for your own feelings. And then wrap it up with these two statements. Here's what I would love. Here's what I would love. It's a solution or a part of a solution because that's part A. Part B is, what would you love? Here's what I would love. What would you love? Number four, nurture the fondness and admiration. Respect each other. How does that show up? How can you show respect to your partner in this moment? And ask yourself this when you're not in the middle of a conflict, but what do I admire and appreciate about this person? Write down your answers and add to your list as you live your days together. Don't keep it a secret. Tell them. Maybe some of the time you tell others what you admire about your loved one. And maybe even do it in front of them. Raise them up. So here's the thing. Our brains, our primitive part of our brains was wired to think about what's not working, what's wrong. And so we just need to rewire ourselves to focus on what we love and appreciate about our partner instead. The fifth one, raise your upper limits. Gay Hendricks says, we have limited tolerance to feeling good. Isn't that crazy? So the solution is to reset our feel good thermostats to a higher level, to raise the bar, to tell ourselves, I am expanding every day in love and joy. So here's what I would invite you to do. Share your notes with your partner and or have your partner listen to the podcast if they're not with you. Talk about what resonated with you on this podcast and maybe the last one, and make it fun. And make a list of what you love about your partner, like we talked about, and also what you're grateful for about your partner. Because when we're in that vibration of gratitude, we get more of the same of what we're grateful for. One more thing, watch your words. Use words like agreements instead of expectations. Try those both on. See which one feels expansive to you. Use bloopers versus screw-ups. Kind of like guys do with sports highlights. Bloopers. Mulligan or a do-over instead of rehash. Just a few tidbits that I have found helpful. So I'd like to end this podcast with a story about a man named Reverend Thomas. He was a man happily married to his wife for 55 years. 55 years. And when he was asked what his secret was, he said this: love is a four-letter word spelled G-I-V-E. For years, he would write little love notes to his wife and hide them around the house for her to find. And when he became terminally ill and was confined to a rented hospital bed in his own home, his wife would climb in bed with him and spoon him like she did for 55 years, because she knew he loved that. She was spooning him the day he died. 3 weeks after his death, she found a note from her dear husband. Somehow, when she was out of the room, he had managed to find the strength to write one last note and put it in the bedside stand next to his hospital bed. In faint and shaky handwriting, it said, "Love you." Thank you for joining me today. Spread your love. When you give it away, it really does grow. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this has been To Your Greatness. I'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.